Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Well, tonight, I think what we're going to do is we're going to get a deeper glimpse into really the need for mind training. When we are asleep and dreaming and we don't know that we're dreaming, then we're focused on the projection. We're focused on the movie as if it's real. We believe the external world is solid. And it's different than our mind. Our thoughts are our thoughts, and they're inner. We have an inner world and an outer world. And pretty much we're so convinced in the projection that we would say, of course there's an inner world and an outer world, and never the twain shall meet. And that's because there's actually a fear of thoughts. There's a fear of miscreation, the fear of misusing the power that God gave us. So it's like people sometimes, you know, like, I like the idea that I can manifest the world that I want. I can manifest the dreams that I want. I can manifest the world. And that's all right. But then when you say, what about the war and poverty, hunger, devastation? Well, I'm not going to manifest that. But it's there in perception. So it must be that there's something going on in consciousness that has produced a world where there's all kinds of things in that interpretation: lack, poverty, disease, death, so on and so forth. And then you can easily say, well, I'm going to just focus on the good things. I'm just going to accept onto my Instagram account only the most beautiful pictures and the most beautiful videos, and I'm unfollowing anything else. How'd that one slip in there? Get out of my feed. I want to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. And Jesus is like, and your positive and your negative are all part of a misperception. So enough of trying to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative, because you have to begin to see that everything that you perceive without exception is the result of your thoughts. That's why it takes mind training. Jesus says, one of his workbook lessons, my thoughts are images that I have made. That's pretty sneaky, because you may say, well, you know, there's a saying throughout history kind of called seeing is believing. And Jesus is saying, no, believing is misperceiving. That's the way you would say, you believe in the ego, you misperceive everything, everything, because the ego is a death wish. So if you believe in a death wish, you perceive the effects of that death wish. And then when you think that those images are real, you think that there's really an actual external world that's apart from you, that also comes from thinking, oh, I'm a person, and then there's a big, giant, vast world outside of this person. But also that inner-outer thing. Oh, I have an inner world, and then there's an outer world. So you could say that the purpose of mind training of A Course in Miracles and the purpose of the workbook lessons, which is the practical application of the teachings, is to show you that the inner and the outer are the same. That there is nothing outside of you, there is nothing outside of your mind, and sometimes you hear teachers call about unified awareness or unified consciousness. That's just basically saying it's all consciousness, it's all mind. There is no such thing as physical. The physical is mental. You have a weight problem, you have a mental problem. You have a vision problem with your eyes, it's a mental problem. You're afraid of seeing with the vision of Christ. You're afraid of Christ's vision, so you project it out onto the body and say, oh, I need glasses, I need contacts, I need thick glasses. Jesus is like, you're just afraid of love, and you're projecting your fear of vision, true vision, Christ vision, spiritual vision onto the body, another ego trick to make it seem as if the problem is external. So that's really why we talk about guidance, we talk about trust, and what I'll talk about tonight is mind training. And A Course in Miracles is a tool for mind training. That's what it's for. And honestly, if you read the Bible, you know, when you are really lit up by the message of Jesus, you know, for 2,000 years, people have been trying to practice the teachings of Jesus. And that's where it gets a little dicey. Sentimentally, okay, I love it, Jesus. You're saying, I and the Father are one. Love it, love it, love it, love it. I've got a neighbor, though. And then the practical application of judge not takes a lot of prayer, a lot of faith, a lot of trust. And to come to a state of non-judgment, we'll say it takes a lot of mind training. So we're going to talk about the mind training tonight. Is there anything special about spiritual community? No. Is there anything special about spiritual groups? No. Spiritual teachers? No. There's nothing really special about any aspect of the dream. And yet, the focus always has to be on mind training. So just coming here, you know, coming here and giving yourself 12 days here, you can start to feel the importance of prayer, the importance of being authentic, not having a mask, sharing what you're feeling, talking, having heart-to-heart talks. And that may seem like a little thing, but I think it's a pretty big thing. It's a pretty big step. Because like Ricky was just saying there, you know, when you come and you give yourself even a moment to start to practice dropping the roles and not just giving the pat answers of based on the roles. Why do you think that? Well, it's because I'm a this or I'm a that. Of course I think that because I'm a this or that. But it's really getting in touch with the thoughts and the beliefs. And most of us, when we're growing up, we're taught about the world. We go to school, we have years and years and years of education. And in all those years of education, and I certainly know that because I had kindergarten, then first grade to sixth grade, then junior high, seventh and eighth, then high school, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then I went to university for 10 years on top of all of that. So there's a lot of years spent in schooling, but in all those years of schooling, I never heard one teacher and educator. Actually, my mother, the biological mother of David, was a teacher, and I never heard her, anybody, any teacher ever tell me that education is part of the problem. They just didn't say that. I've never been invited back to a high school since I've been teaching. I don't think universities are that interested in what I have to share. And what Jesus is teaching us in the Course is, he said, this world, this linear world of time and space, is learned. You learned it. You educated yourself on separation, a faulty formulation of reality. You had a false assumption, the ego, separation from God, and then you built an entire cosmos, seemingly piece by piece, step by step, never once stopping to say, and why am I building this? He's asking us, you know, you never really paused. You never took a pause. You just kept building, 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 building. And so he tells us, everyone who comes to this world comes without a self and makes one up as they go along. Wow. Comes without a self and makes one up as they go along. That's a lot of fiction. And that means that education, in that sense, is at the root of the problem. We've learned separation. We've learned this world based on the belief in separation. God didn't create it. Spirit doesn't create it. We've learned it. And now there's such a focus on the externals. You've got to get good grades and eat the right things and get enough exercise. You've got to wear the right clothes, know the right people. And you grow up to be from a child, and then you have to start building a self-concept. Find your niche. Find your niche and fit in. Build, build, build a self-concept. Build, build, build an image of yourself. And always we hear, you got to make it better. That's why it's not enough that I had all those years of education and you finally graduate, you start working a job or something, and then they say, maybe you should go back and polish up on some of your skills and do some in-service training. In, 22, 23 years of education is not enough. Go back, polish up a little bit better, a little more. More education, it never stops. Until you realize, reverse, I've got to unlearn. I have to unlearn. Oh my gosh. I remember when I was in graduate school in psychology, I started reading like Ivan Illich, and I started reading all these books on unschooling and unlearning, and my professors were like, what the hell is he reading? But if I'd have done it in high school, it would have been the same reaction. The teachers would have said, suspicious. You're here at school to learn, not to unlearn. You're here for schooling, not to be unschooled. But that was right before the Course came into my life, so Jesus was already stirring things around, stirring the pot. Get ready. Get ready. Prepare ye now for the undoing of what never was. Ooh, deep. Deep. That's deep. Prepare ye now for the undoing of what never was. So you can see that this journey, like I said, it's not difficult, but it is very different. When you go from here, don't try to explain your insights to your family and friends. So they get the white jackets. Lock it up. Lock them up. But tonight we're going to watch a movie that, well, you know how I was cooing and raving about Robert Redford with our beautiful golfing movie that he did. I have to give a real shout out to the director of the movie tonight. Did anybody watch when you were growing up Michael J. Fox and Family Ties? Anybody ever watch Family Ties? Yeah. Family Ties. And then Michael J. Fox, and then he had a sister in that show. And that sister was played by the actress Justine Bateman. Well, Justine grew up and she grew into a movie maker, and she's made the movie for us tonight. And it's good. Just like Robert Redford's movie. It's really good. Because she does things in this movie that I've never, ever, ever seen any filmmaker do. And I've seen a lot of movies. And she is out of the box. And I would say the ego doesn't like what she's done in this movie. It is not happy. Because I've shown a lot of movies where we talk about empaths and telepathic connections and reading minds and so forth. There's a lot of great sci-fi movies, a lot of great movies about the power of the mind, and all minds are joined, and really there's no private minds and private thoughts, which are great, great, great movies. But, you know, you may think, well, okay, but I would like to be telepathic, and I really would like to be an empath, but I'm not there yet. And Jesus says, you know, those are just psychic abilities that are very natural, that as you practice the mind training, you will get more telepathic naturally. And it's not a special gift or a special psychic ability. It's a natural ability. You'll just start to pick up thoughts. You'll become more and more and more telepathic and empathic. You'll be able to feel when you have an interaction with somebody, you can feel what seems to be their feelings in the interaction. And imagine if you were like a psychotherapist or a counselor, and you were trying to counsel people, and you're trying to listen to, well, my mom did this to me, and when I was 5 years old, I got locked in this room, and you know, you just heard all the stories. But imagine if you were a telepathic psychotherapist and an empathic. You were an empath and telepathic. Imagine you could just say, okay, come on, just lay down on the couch now. How are you doing today? Don't even need to tell me. I feel how you're doing, and I'm reading your thoughts too, but I'm not going to tell you because that's too scary. But, you know, but just imagine how that would help your healing abilities if you could read the thoughts. Some of you might say, well, yeah, even with my wife or my husband, that would be good. I think it'd be good to be an empath, telepathic. Others say, no, it's not good. It's intense. it's very, very intense. But just for healing purposes, and you go deeper into the metaphysics and you see the problem really isn't the memories per se, and the problem isn't the actions and behaviors per se. It's the interpretation of those memories, and it's the interpretation of those actions that is where the peace or the upset are. Because Jesus obviously seemed to be walking around the world, but he was very peaceful. He didn't seem to lose his peace. You know, there's some projections through the Gospels of turning over tables and cracking whips and everything, but people ask me, and I said, that doesn't mean Jesus was angry. I could turn a table over and be as happy as can be. The action, you can't imply how somebody feels. He was just making the statement that why do you need to be selling animals in the temple? This is supposed to be a temple of prayer. And he was simply overturning all the cages. And I'm sure there were coins flying. And I'm sure Jesus was not mad. He was just here. And everyone goes, well, he did get angry. That describes that he was furious at the temple. No. If Jesus was angry, then that would have violated everything that he taught. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why would you get angry if you were aware that what was occurring wasn't real? Well, why would you have reason for anger or grievances? So the movie tonight, the movie is called Violet. And it's from Justine Bateman. And we're going to watch the main character. But aside from just watching her and her story and her life in the filmmaking industry, her living with a roommate and going through the things that she goes through, we're going to get a bird's eye view of her thoughts. So we're not only just going to be watching her actions, but we're going to get to pick up both audible thoughts, and we're going to get extra Justine's helping us out. She's going to show visuals what thoughts and beliefs are going on in the mind. Why is that important? Because our actions come from our thoughts. Jesus says, what you do comes from what you think. Remember, the world is a projection of beliefs and thoughts. Even though we have believed that it's external, it's actually not. It's an internal world. And if it's crazy, then it's an internal split mind. And it's an internal mixed bag of all kinds of egoic beliefs and thoughts. But the form, the behaviors are just the effects. So Jesus is telling us that this world comes about from it's the projection of an unreal belief. So the ego is an unreal cause, and the world of images are a world of unreal effects. Make sense? Unreal cause produces unreal effects, and real cause, oh, what's that? God. God's the creator. That's got to be a real cause. And the creator has a real effect, Christ. Not the man Jesus, but the Christ idea, the universal Christ that is our identity. God's the universal God. God extends, creates a universal Christ, which is pure spirit. It's eternal. It's changeless. It's pure love. It's pure oneness. So there's a cause-effect relationship that is real. God and Christ. That's an actual, factual, real relationship. And it's not a relationship like we tend to think of it, because it's a spiritual, it's really one mind. It's all happening in one mind. It's not two, it's just one. And yet, when there's a belief in separation, then that's when learning begins. There's no learning in heaven. You don't, like, if it's all pure spirit and pure oneness, what would you learn? What would you need to learn? Do you need mathematics in heaven? No. Do you need sex education in heaven? No. Do you need culinary, you know, home economics or, you know, culinary class? No. Do you need engineering? No. Do you need physics? No. Do you need anything in heaven? But if heaven is reality, is pure abstract love and oneness, then obviously there's no learning. Again, learning has been part of the problem. So if you like the learning word, some people say, I like learning though, David. I don't want to think of it in the negative terms. Then think about learning forgiveness. But to learn forgiveness, you have to unlearn everything that you believe about the world without exception. And so, yeah, that's great. It's great to learn forgiveness, but it's also unlearning everything specific. Because even in the forgiven world of the happy dream, you know, you could still perceive the specifics, but you know they're not real. That's the difference. You still perceive the specifics, but you know they're not real. That's a happy dream, because you're aware that you're dreaming, but you're not at the mercy of the images. No matter what however the images are, you're not at the mercy of the images. So tonight we're going to take a journey with Violet, because Violet is a woman who seems to have some fears and insecurities, but the best part is we're going to see in one sense, Violet's mind. And that's what's so helpful, because whenever we have reactions to a movie, we're really seeing something that we believe is external, and we're interpreting something's gone wrong or something's gone bad. You watch a movie and you're talking back to the screen. Don't go down that dark hallway. Stop. Don't go. You know, people talk to the screen. It's they're perceiving what they believe, and if they have fear, then they're trying to save the characters, talking back to the movie. But here with Violet, we actually get to see her mind. And that really helps, because our mind training is to change our mind about our mind. Our mind training is to free our mind from ego beliefs and thoughts. And if you've ever tried to change your behavior, if you've ever tried losing weight, or you think you're too thin, you have to gain weight, or you try to quit smoking, or you think, oh, I don't like my environment, I need a new partner, or I need a new pet, or I need a new color of paint in my living room, or whatever you've had where you thought, I got to change the mood, and you think it will come about by changing the external, then you're just believing, we'll say, that you need to change the effects without changing the cause. And Jesus is saying, why don't you just give up the ego, and then all the effects will change, like our movie when they went up the wall last night. The whole place just disappeared. The whole thing was gone. The wall was gone. And it was just these little figures getting whooshed up and dissolving away. Because actually, even if you go back to the Bible and you read the Gospels, one thing I noticed about the Gospels is that it seems like, I always like the Bibles, and you get to the New Testament and the red letters. Anybody like the red letters? I love the red letters. That's what Jesus was speaking. And you notice, it's like what he was speaking in those red letters seemed to be for the whole universe. It didn't really seem like it was coming from a man. You know, I and the Father are one. I haven't heard that coming from human beings. It must be, maybe that's the Holy Spirit speaking. Before Abraham was, I am. That, just the grammar of that sentence, that is not a very human sentence. And the other thing was, he really, really, really was not focused on the body like human beings are. He's not walking along, oh, John, gosh, I shouldn't have had that extra loaf of bread. I put on 10 pounds today. What do you think, John? And we're going through, oh, Matthew, I'm having a bad hair day. It's just, oh, it's been 4 days. I haven't been able to wash my hair. I hope we get a pond pretty soon. I'm having a bad hair day. He just was not focused on the body. And you notice Jesus, this world is all based on compliments and criticism. Oh, I like your hair. Oh, I like your smile. I like your this. I like your that. Oh, lose some weight. Looking good. Da, da, da. What's wrong with you? You look like you've been hit by a car. You look terrible. Compliments, criticisms. I noticed when I was reading the Gospels and the red letters, I was like, he's not complimenting or criticizing people. It's like he's not focused on the body. It's like his mind is gone, like somewhere else. But he's not here. He's not acting like a human being. He's acting more like an eternal being. He's thinking like an eternal being. He's speaking like an eternal being. By golly, if there's going to be a way-shower that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's the kind of way-shower I would want to have, especially if that's reality. If eternity is reality, then I want my way-shower to be a demonstration and an extension of eternity. That's who I'll follow. That's who I'll follow. I'll drop it all, leave it all behind, and I'll follow the being that's an eternal being. So I would say just from that right away, we start to realize, wow, then that means I don't need to be so focused on these outcomes. You know, did you get the job? Did you graduate? Did you get good grades? You know, did you get paid? Did you get laid? You know, it's just, my gosh, a world of externals that seem to be so important. And then when we follow those externals, what is enough enough? You know, everybody who goes after the externals and these goals and expectations is feeling like left with not enough. We'll see that today with Violet too. You know, she's got a core insecurity, a belief that she's not enough or not good enough. And we know it's not a pretty sight when we have unworthiness in our mind or we have guilt. When we believe we're not enough, it just is a sad story. But Jesus is saying it's not a real story because you're an eternal being and you are created by God and you remain as God created you. You remain as spirit. You are not what you believe yourself to be. But if you have the power and the faith in your mind and you put it into a belief system of death, let's call it what the Christians call it, Satan, you know. If you're a Satan worshiper, which is what to believe in the ego is a Satan worshiper. So you start to realize, oh my gosh, this is a planet of death worshipers. You can see why I don't get invited out much, but I did for years. Now it's getting a little stronger. But if you start to say, yes, this is the planet of death worshipers, it's the mind underneath the planet and the cosmos that's basically worshiping the death by believing in the ego. Because God didn't create the ego. So if you believe in something God didn't create, you're worshiping with your mind and your belief system something that doesn't exist and denying who you are as the living Christ. So that's what we're going to see in the movie. Because once we get to know the character Violet, and we just from seemingly what the story that she's going through, and then we start to get Justine Bateman filling us in with audible voices, and we get to see some of the thoughts and beliefs, then it starts to become like, wow, the problem is these beliefs and thoughts. It's not what's happening to Violet that's the problem. And then we start to transfer it to us too. It's like, wow, it's not what happened to us in our dream, in our story. It's how our mind interpreted what was happening to us. We still have that power of interpretation. We can choose to see it with the Holy Spirit and laugh. Remember to laugh. Have a belly laugh, actually, with it all. Even the most dire scene where we were biting our nails, you know, and then we, ha, 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 with the Holy Spirit. It's actually funny because it's not real. That's what makes it funny. If it were real at all, it wouldn't be funny. And we're not laughing when we believe it. But when we can come back in our mind with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit and see it, that's a beautiful scene on the cross. You know, Jesus is like, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's just seeing the unreality of the dream. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There it is. Wow. He's seeing the unreality of it. Our kingdom is with God. We have a spiritual kingdom. He wasn't even trying to bring the spiritual kingdom onto earth because that would have been trying to bring the truth into the illusion. He just calmly realized the connection with God. I and the Father are one. Huh, that doesn't sound like a man speaking. Whoa, that's eternity speaking. I and the Father are one. That is wow, wow, wow. That is the Son of God is invulnerable. The Son of God is still as God created the Son of God, and that's untouchable in terms of the world. So let's roll it with Violet here, and I hope you enjoy this style, because, wow, thank you, Robert Redford. Thank you, Justine Bateman. Yes, this is great. This is what we need. We need to see those thoughts. We need to hear those thoughts to really have it kind of like in our face, like, wow, I'm not going to be happy if I'm still holding on to those thoughts and beliefs. You know, that critic voice, that dark critic voice in the mind. Muna, we've talked about that many times, you know. It's like, enough. That's what you were saying at the beginning of this retreat. This is it. Enough is enough. Enough is enough is enough. I can't go on. I can't go on no more. Barbara Streisand. That's it. And Violet's going to help us tonight. Okay. Here we go. Let's roll it. So you see the ego's tactics very blatantly. The people-pleasing, the stuffing feelings down, the not talking, speaking up, you know. And then this dark voice inside. Be nice. They'll quit. Threats, threats, threats. The persona is under threat from the ego. And the Holy Spirit never commands and never demands. The Holy Spirit never delivers an ultimatum and says, you follow me or else. No, never, not once. The Holy Spirit never commands and never demands, just offers instructions, helpful instructions, prompts, inner nudges, little inner directions. This would be good. Call so-and-so. Go here. Visit this one. Guidance. Guidance is not commanding and demanding, because if it was, then the mind would just say, I'm not going to do this. And sometimes the ego does tell the mind, don't do it. Even when it has a good, expansive feel to it, the ego will say, don't do that. What's going to become of you? You're going to be homeless. Have a whiskey bottle, you'll be like a bag lady walking around. Please the boss, please the family, please the people, please the neighbors. And Jesus isn't telling us to blast anyone, but he is saying, get in touch with your feelings and be able to talk about things in a way that starts to loosen it, allow a change. Like Ricky was saying with Tirana, you know, just let the roles are still there, but don't feel obligated and stuck in those roles, because those roles are coming from beliefs and those roles are thoughts. They aren't the end. You know, that song, you know, fear isn't our destiny. God is our destiny. Guilt isn't our destiny. Love is our destiny. Anxiety is not our destiny. Perfect, eternal happiness and joy is our destiny. You know, we have to shift our mind toward the destiny, towards what is real and true. But we first of all have to become aware of these things, of sometimes they call it critical self-talk. And you can see how Justine Bateman, when she starts to just try to do the right thing, and do it, and do it, and please, and please. And then the red gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Like the anger, there's an anger. Like, oh, this game, what am I doing? I can't keep up, like hold this mask up. I can't play this game any longer. And so she's really showing us there. First it starts with, I want to tell you everything, and then the ego, don't, you know, this voice. And then when she opens up, and then Red reflects back and says, you know, maybe I think sometimes you can't trust me with your feelings. And there's the reflection of the Holy Spirit, like, let it up, talk about it, open your heart up, and then a line comes across, take me with you, you know. And that's really to the Holy Spirit, you know, take me with you. Help me to not just go through the motions and constantly trying to put on an act and wear a mask, get the job done, get the outcomes done, keep it together. You know, there's that voice in our mind over the years. After the mask starts to form and it gets pretty formed, then it's like, keep it together. Got to keep it together. And yet, what is it that we're trying to keep together? You know, really? Why is it so important to keep it together? Maybe we need to let it fall apart. Maybe that's the direction. Because it has to start to, there has to be a breakdown sometimes to be a breakthrough. There has to be a disillusionment before we can start to rise up like the phoenix. Feel the joy of following our intuition. But this dark, critical voice, and you can see with Violet, even when she was a little girl on her bike, she just did her little dance. She had her little Supergirl cape on, and she was all spunky and happy, goes home, and then it comes in a different angle. It comes through her mother, yeah, where she just looks back at her bike, almost like, what was that? And so it's reinforced. The ego is using the world of images, which it made to hide in the mind and to reinforce these false thoughts. And if we believe the images are real, then talk about a tightly sealed illusion where you think thoughts and then you start to perceive images that seem to reinforce the thoughts, but actually are the thoughts. It's all the same. It's all taking place in consciousness. That's why we have to pray. That's why we have to meditate. That's why we have to sink down beneath all the frantic, riotous sights and sounds, Jesus says in the workbook, to the kingdom of heaven within. We have to go inward. But the education and the training in this world is survival. It's comparison. It's do the right thing, make the right moves, establish the right self-concept, build a strong personality self-concept that can adjust and adapt to a very cruel dog-eat-dog world. And then the mind starts to rely on that personality self and tries to protect it. And then it surrounds itself with other bodies, and then it has to protect them as well. And pretty soon it's caught up in a protectionism defense mechanism, protecting the body of too afraid to look at the thoughts, too afraid of the thoughts. And underneath that, it's afraid of God, afraid of the Holy Spirit, afraid that the ego thoughts are real. One of the things you can do when you find yourself in like this loop that Violet is showing us, you know, is there has to be some kind of big stepping back beyond I am not a body, beyond I am not these behaviors, but I am not the thinker of these thoughts. Wow. Back in the mind. I am not the thinker of these thoughts. These are not my real thoughts. I have real thoughts that I think with my Creator, and these thoughts about people and time and space and future outcomes and past regrets and future worries and past grievances are not my real thoughts, and therefore I cannot be the thinker of those thoughts. You see how far back the healing has to go. That's why we need mind training, because we're not trying to give up physical addictions. When people go to 12-step groups, they usually go with a presenting problem: alcohol, sex addiction, drug addiction, cocaine, something, shopping addiction, something that seems to be in form. And Jesus is really reeling it back to what he said 2,000 years ago, judge not. He's saying basically, we have a judgment addiction. We were not created to be judges. We were created to be just to be. That's why the Beatitudes in the Bible saying, come back and just be. We've become so addicted, so identified with the body and the doer. And I remember that there was a Frank Sinatra song, doobie doobie doo, na 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 na, doobie doobie doo. What's going to be? Do or be? Doobie doobie doo. That's what we're going through every day. Be as God created me. Be still and know that I'm God. Be. Or you identify with the doer, the body, and then nothing is enough. You're not good enough. There's comparisons, never enough. I'll be there someday in the future, this body personality. Someday it will reach some imaginary pinnacle, but it never comes. We literally take those thoughts to the grave because those thoughts are the grave. They've always been the grave. Grave thoughts, gravity thoughts, heavy thoughts of the ego, dark thoughts. Yeah, that's what we need to release. And this movie is just showing it. But you can see the glimmers. You can see her girlfriend that she met is like the Holy Spirit. That's that sparkle that she had when she was riding around with her little cape on her bike and feeling like, I'm not going to be a slave driver. She's giving the lyrics of the Slave Driver song. I'm not going to be that. And you can see the spark. The Holy Spirit was there. And then with her, she meets her friend and she said, but wait a minute, you know, why would you date this executive? You said 3 years ago, you're not attracted to him in the least bit. Did I say that? No, I don't think I, well, that was 3 years ago. You know, all the defenses and excuses, like, why aren't you being authentic? Why not? So her girlfriend, and now Red, look at Red. So you can see the Holy Spirit is bringing in, questioning those doubt thoughts, questioning that critical, you know, stance. You don't have to buy into that. And Red is beautiful coming back, you know, I'm here for you. You can share your feelings with me. It's okay. They've been friends for 20 years. You can share your feelings with me. And then we see her thought, take me with you. Such a strong call to innocence, you know, to being loved and accepted. Still there, still there. Whoa. Anybody getting... feeling incentive to do mind training instead of just running around getting more skills and trying to reach more goals in the world, you know. Wow, the mind training is important. And Jesus tells us in the Course, he says, you will believe where you think you are. In other words, the roles, she's there playing the role of supposedly working for Tom, and she's very hesitant to even bring up this project with her girlfriend and now with Tom that she's had such a passion for. She put a lot of her own money. She's poured her heart into this, and she's afraid to bring it up with Tom. And you see what happened when she did bring it up with Tom and even with her girlfriend. Wait a minute, aren't you working on that project that you love so much? And if not... But when we move away from the Holy Spirit, we have only other one option, and that's the ego. And the ego, remember, the whole world's learned. The ego says you need a career to help this body survive. But do you think God never created careers? God wants us to tune in directly to the voice for God and be intuitive. And that's not a career, being intuitive, living in the moment. There's no career in the present moment. That's made up. Careers are made up, and bosses are made up, and all types of figures. Society is made up. Politics is made up. Anything that you find yourself getting upset with in the world, the only reason you get upset with those things, those characters, those people, that society, that country, that dictator, whatever, is because of the belief in the reality of it. And to come back to what I was sharing earlier, this world is learned. And it's been learned, the ego has said, here, come away, you've thrown away heaven, so you better make the best of it. And here, I've got some dust over here, and you could start off with the body, and then I'll give you lots of other things to add to the body, and you can build and build like Tinker Toys, like Legos. You can just build and build and build and build. And then when things start come crashing down, we think we've failed. We think we've lost. We're a loser. We're not as good. Look at all those successful people that are adapting and adjusting to this world. And Jesus is saying, you can't adjust to this world because the world is a lie. The world, the foundation of the world of time and space is the ego. And if it's a rotten apple at the core, if it's a core fundamental error in belief, then how can you adapt and adjust to the projection of a death wish? So he's not wanting to adapt and adjust. He's not wanting us to fit into this world. He's saying, I am calling you out of the world in your mind. He's not saying run to a cave. You know, the mystics and saints have tried to leave the world. They've gone and lived in caves. They've lived in woods. They've tried to get away from society by running as far away as they can from the built world. And maybe it's like, oh no, I have to live a simple life. I'm going to go live to the woods. I tried that after 10 years of university. That's the first thing I did. A Course in Miracles landed in my hands. I bought a little plot of land in some woods in Kentucky for $1,800. And then the place I worked, Goodwill, I had employee discount. So I got my house, a little trailer for like $600. So I was in there for land and the house, the trailer, for $2,400. Big investment for me. And then I had school debt, so that was a big deal. I didn't want to go further in debt. But then I took the course down into the woods, and I would pray and meditate, and I just was wanting a simpler life. I took down Walden Pond. Anybody ever hear of Walden Pond and Henry Thoreau? I mean, I was drinking water and making different kind of breads to try to find the best bread, the simplest bread to make, the pancake one. But Jesus said to me in the Course, he said, no, no, simplicity is in your thinking. The Holy Spirit's thought system is the simplicity. It has nothing to do with the images. It's the reinterpretation of the images. You can be as happy as a lark in a city or in the desert. It has nothing to do with the images. The complexity has nothing to do with the images. It's the thinking. Ego thinking is complex. Holy Spirit, right-minded thinking is simple. So thus, for me, it was like, oh my gosh, I need lots of mind training. I've just come out of 22, 23 years of education, starting with kindergarten, and I'm like, I'm going to have to unlearn everything. And thus, that takes you on the journey home, the journey to the home that was never left, you know, just the self-realization, it's called. It's called self-actualization by Abraham Maslow. You know, it's called by many different names in different cultures, but it's still emptying the mind. Like all the mystics and saints, Buddha, Jesus, Ramana, all of them have said, be still and empty your mind. And we're seeing from this movie here with Violet that we can see, wow, it's hard to keep listening to that voice. It's just going to bring up one scenario after the next. And then she's like hesitating, trying to avoid it, dance around it. She was just, you know, the voice is telling her, don't do it. Don't make a fuss. Don't be a bitch. You know, it's just, she's just like in a mental vice that she didn't want to ever get into. wow, maybe everything we perceive, including our family members, our biological family members, are just, again, projections of beliefs and thoughts that we hold in mind. And maybe Jesus is saying, please join the family of God. Please join the family of God where everyone's welcome. Please join the family of God, which is a vibrational family. When you follow the Holy Spirit, then you'll recognize your family. Follow the ego, see the past, see the guilt, see the shoulds, the ought tos. Things are never good enough for the ego. Comparison, expectations. We know the routine. It's very dark. But you must turn your mind to a point where you go to the Holy Spirit and basically say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I want to learn of you. I need to see myself and my world, my family, my friends, my everyone in a different way. And that's what he says at the beginning of the workbook. He says, this workbook will help you train your mind to see yourself and everyone you perceive differently. He comes right out. It says it's going to be a change of perception. That's where this mind training is leading. And basically, there's another part where he just says that everything in this world, this dream, is basically a call to witnesses. But he goes on to describe our thoughts in our mind as, and there's really just two thought systems, so it's just ego and Holy Spirit. But he uses the word sentinels. He says, you send out from your mind sentinels to go forth and bring witnesses and evidence of what you believe in, of what you're thinking. You're sending out the sentinels to bring the witnesses. And he's basically saying, when we were talking about, you know, move over to the passenger seat and let Jesus drive, he's basically saying, if you give your heart to me, if you give your mind to me, if you will listen and follow the instructions of the Christ and the Holy Spirit, I will show you a different world, and I will start sending witnesses for this new world. There's going to be harbingers. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit sends out sentinels too. The Holy Spirit's going to draw those witnesses, and those witnesses will be loving, accepting, joyful, happy witnesses, to the harbingers of where this is all going.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.